Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we are grateful. Grateful for the opportunity that was granted to us to gather and to worship thy holy name. Our Father, we now pray that I will consecrate thy word. Blessed by the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is no argument. The Bible is the best-selling book of all times, both presently as well as in the foreseeable future. And the reason for this is not far-fetched. It is because the Bible is God's special revelation to humanity. Unlike general revelation, where God reveals himself through nature, history, and in our conscience, in the Bible, God removes the veil and speaks directly to us. And it is through the Bible that we get to know who God truly is and his personhood. It is through the Bible that we get to know why we are the way we are as fallen humanity. And it is through the Bible that we get to know how to get right with God in times of redemption. In addition, the Bible is also a book of practical wisdom. It contains extensive practical advice on how to make sound judgments in complex everyday situations. And one of the ways the Bible constantly calls us to make sound judgment is actually how we speak, what the Bible calls the tongue. You know, the Bible mentions the word tongue roughly 110 times, with a significant portion of those instances warning us about the danger and the destructive power of the human tongue. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon will write, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, he said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." James, in his epistle in the New Testament, James chapter 3, verse 6, he said, "The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and it sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell." Our Lord Jesus will reiterate the same warning in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He said, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned." So, loved ones, it goes without saying that how we speak or how we use a tongue matters greatly to God. And the pointed question this morning then is simple. You know, how do we now bridle our tongue in such a way that our speech will glorify God? Well, one of the practical advice that the Bible does offer on how to bridle our tongue is actually to be silent. Again, you hear what I said, to be silent. Again, Solomon writing in the book of Proverbs, he will say, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Proverbs 17:27, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Proverbs 17:28, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, is counted as prudent." So, loved ones, you do see that one of the ways to bridle our tongue is actually to master this notion of biblical silence. Now, one thing I do know is that it's often easier said than done. So that is why this morning I want to really dive into this notion of silence, how you and I can bridle our tongue through the discipline of biblical silence. What does this mean? And how do we actualize this? Now, before addressing this notion of biblical silence, I want to first of all give us what I call a clear understanding of what it means and what it does not mean. In essence, I want to really look at what silence means and what silence does not mean. So let me begin first with what it does not mean. You know, first of all, silence is not cowardice. Loved ones, I want you to write this down. Silence is not cowardice. You know, while in our world, we often equate noise with power. Those who make noise, we think they are extremely powerful. And we tend to look down on those who are silent as a manifestation of fear or cowardice. But in God's kingdom, that is not the truth. You know, staying quiet is actually an active demonstration of our emotional intelligence and discipline. You know, refusing to react to provocation or anger shows what I call a warrior's restraint rather than a victim's fear. Take, for example, our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout this trial, as it was taken from courtroom to courtroom, the Bible said the Lord Jesus was silent. Now, he wasn't silent because he was fearful. He wasn't silent because he was a coward. He was silent because he had power. He had power under control. He could hold down his power and just be silent because he was on a mission. Because the Lord Jesus could call legions of angels that would destroy this entire universe. But he remained silent because he had a mission. There was a cup that he had to take. And the cross was why he came to this earth and he was silent. So loved ones, silence does not mean you are a coward or you are fearful. The second thing silence does not mean is this. Silence is not avoiding communicating when speech is necessary. Again, I want you to think what I'm saying this morning. Silence is not avoiding communicating when speech is necessary. You know, being silent when you should speak up to defend someone or speak the truth, you have been complicit. In other words, you have been part of the evil and the crime. You know, when you keep silent when you should speak up, you have become a partaker of the same crime that you are silent about. In other words, if your next door neighbor abuses his wife and you listen and you hear the physical abuse and you say, well, I'm going to stay in my lane because I got to be silent, you have become complicit. And that is why the Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 17, it said, therefore, to he who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So this morning, loved ones, if you are silent when you need to speak, that is sin. So now with that clarified, let's now look at what exactly is biblical silence in terms of practical wisdom. This is the definition I'm going to give you this morning. You know, when we talk about silence, we're talking about a deliberate choice to be still and ponder the appropriate word or action to take if necessary. Again, I want you to pay attention to that definition, loved ones. Silence is a deliberate choice to be still and ponder the appropriate word or action to take if necessary. A couple of things I want you to observe in that definition. You know, silence has to do with the engaging of your will, that you choose, you are intentional about not speaking. You are intentional that when people come against you, you choose to be still, that you restrain yourself and you ponder the appropriate word or action to take if necessary. That's a key word. You know, one thing you know that in life, things happen. And most of us, our human instinct is always to speak to defend ourselves. But this is the key. The deliberate choice to be still actually mutes our ego so that we can begin to process the information and see whether it is worthy of an answer. And loved ones, I tender to you this morning some things are not worthy of answer. You know, the devil tends to use people to bait you and I into different conversation. The devil will throw some things at you and want you to respond or react to those things. He baits you. That is why you got to be able to be still and ponder whether what this person is saying or what this person is doing is even worthy of any response. Should I just ignore and walk away? Should I just say, you know what, I will get back to you later? That is why the Bible constantly warns us to be careful of this bait. That is not everything that you hear. It is not everything on social media that pops up to you that is worthy of an answer. Look at what Solomon will say in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. He said, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." Watch what Solomon is saying. In other words, there are some people who do foolish things. He said, don't answer them according to their folly, because the more you answer the fool according to his folly, you become just like a fool. And Paul himself, on two occasions, was able to tell Timothy, his own son in the faith, to be careful. He said, avoid worldly and empty chatter and the opposing argument of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, Paul will tell his son Timothy, he said, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. So, loved ones, you see that yes, silence is the deliberate choice to be still and to ponder the words or the action to take if necessary. But it's not every time that some things are necessary to be said. At times you got to choose to take the high road. At times you got to choose to bridle and to be silent. That is the example we see from our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to answer all those who accused him, because he knew he had a higher calling. He had a higher mission to fulfill. Now, with that clarified, now let me return now to my initial question. You know, how then do we actualize this ability to be silent? You know, I believe it's always easier said than done, right? So how do we actualize this ability to actually be silent? Well, I'm going to give you four ways this morning. Four ways that you can have this deliberate choice to be still. Let's go both this morning. The first thing is this. I want you to actively cultivate the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Again, loved ones, I think it's important for you to write this down. Actively cultivate the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, you can begin to read about this. But this morning, listen, let me define for you what self-control means. Self-control really is not willpower. I want you to understand that. But rather, self-control is the ability to govern one's own desire, emotions, and actions according to God's will rather than one's own impulses. You hear what I just said? It's the ability to govern your desire, your emotion, and action. You might say, well, do I have that power? Yes. That's why we call it the fruit of the Spirit. Because as a believer, indwelling in you is the Holy Spirit. You have the power to exercise this fruit. It's available to you. You can yield to the Holy Spirit. Gives you the grace to be able to control your tongue, to be able to remain still, to be remain silent. Now, this one thing you got to know. Self-control and silence are deeply connected. You know, I break it down like this. Self-control is that internal engine that makes meaningful silence possible. You know, self-control provides what I call the pause button before a trigger and your reaction. In other words, self-control gives you the ability to pause between that trigger and that reaction before you act, before you say something. Self-control gives you the grace to stop. You know, it allows you to override your natural urge to snap back or to defend yourself unnecessarily. It shifts you from that reaction-based raw emotion to responding based on wisdom and logic. That is the power of self-control. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 26, the Apostle Paul will say to us, he said, "Be angry and yet do not sin." Wait a minute. That sounds oxymoronic, doesn't it? Because most times when we're angry, it's possible we sin. What is Paul saying? Paul said, listen, as a Christian, yes, there are times that get me angry. But for you not to sin, you have to exercise self-control. That is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. Exercise self-control. At times you got to walk away. At times you just got to bite the tongue and just take it and sit still. That does not mean you're weak. That does not mean you're a coward. That shows power under control. That shows the fact that you have mastery over your nature. That shows the evidence that you are not controlled by your impulses or your emotion. You have the power to restrain yourself. Loved ones, you need self-control to be able to actualize this practical advice of being silent, so that your tongue does not cause you to stumble. The second thing that I'm going to offer you is this. You know, to actualize this practical advice to be silent as a way of bridling our tongue, you have to discipline yourself to listen. Or what I call, you have to become an active listener. You know, one thing that we all don't do well, including me, is that we don't listen well. Most times we are quick to speak and very intolerant of the opinions of others. You know, and any time we are slow to listen and quick to speak, we are bound to spill what we ultimately regret. Now, watch it. I use the word discipline for a reason. Because I believe that when you discipline yourself to listen, you have the power now to fight the temptation to be able to use your tongue and to slash other people down. And you know what? As a pastor, I've been in sessions with couples, and they sit before me, and I know from their demeanor that they're not listening to one another, because while one is speaking, the other one is shaking their head or panting or just looking with rolling their eyes, because they're not listening to what the other person is saying. And because they're not listening, they're not being quiet. Yes, you know, one thing I can tell you, loved ones, no matter how much people come and say stuff to you that you believe don't make no sense, listen to them. You know, when you discipline yourself to listen, you discipline yourself to be silent. That is the key. You discipline yourself to be, you might say, but listen, they're not making sense. That's all right. Listen. Listen. Listen to others' opinion. Their opinion might be way off, but listen. When you listen, you will find yourself that you're able to restrain your tongue and be able to be silent. But it's the discipline. It's not something that you just decide to do tomorrow. It's something that you intentionally practice, that when someone is speaking, you be quiet and try to hear what they're saying. And I truly believe at times someone might say 99.9% stuff that are way off, but it can say 0.01% that is true. That in itself is worth listening to. That 0.1% is worth listening to. And loved ones, I share with you this morning, if you as a believer cannot be an active listener, you won't be able to be silent. Stop talking over other people. Stop saying, I read their mind. You can't read anybody's mind. Let them speak. Listen. And I can tell you, when you discipline yourself to listen, you will be silent. But when you talk over others, you can never achieve this notion of biblical silence. The third thing is this, loved ones. How do I actualize this practical wisdom of silence as a way of bridling my tongue? Establish healthy boundaries. Again, watch what I just said. Establish healthy boundaries. You know, boundaries, healthy boundaries, I believe, are a fundamental part of mastering silence. Why? Because it reduces the internal and external pressure to constantly explain yourself. Are you staying with me this morning, loved ones? You know, when you establish boundaries that are healthy boundaries, it reduces that. You don't have to constantly explain yourself. When you have clear boundaries, you no longer feel the need to fill the air with justification or seeking to please people. You don't want to do that. They ask you, are you coming to my kid's birthday party tomorrow? No, I'm not. Simple. Quiet. You don't need to explain. You know, many people talk excessively because they feel guilty about saying no. You try to justify, you try to rationalize, and in between do that, you just keep lying, lying, lying. Stop doing that. You know, a boundary allows you to state a boundary that says, you know what, I can't make it tonight. And then remain silent afterwards. Go figure. It's so simple. I can't make it. You know, boundary helps you to realize that you don't owe no one any detail of your life. You don't have to tell everybody everything. If someone asks you a question, hey, listen, we need help in the men's group, and you look at your schedule, just tell them, I'm not available this week. Simple boundary. You don't have to say, well, I don't know what I'll make it. I'll be late from work. No, don't do all that. Now, I came across something that I believe is going to be helpful to all of us, right? And this is called JADE. It's J-A-D-E. This is beautiful. It's not original to me, but I came across it. And I want you to watch this. In other words, you got to practice this. And it's an acronym. Number one, you got to avoid justifying the J, arguing, defending, explaining, JADE. J-A-D-E. What you do in terms of boundaries, that stop justifying, stop arguing, stop defending, stop explaining. When you stop doing this four, your total words count will drop significantly. In other words, you don't need to talk a lot. You just simply stop justifying, stop arguing, stop defending, and stop explaining. Boundary. And loved ones, one of the Achilles heels of some of us in the church, we don't have healthy boundaries. And because we don't have healthy boundaries, we compromise, we lie, we try to justify, we argue. You don't have to do that. Just be straight, be prompt, and let him go figure it out. That's not being unchristian-like. And I always tell people, having boundaries does not make you less of a Christian. Doesn't make you mean. What does that? That just simply said, I can't do it. And you got to know that it's for your own mental health. You can't be everything to everybody. You got to be able to know what you can do and what you cannot do. And may I remind you, if you want to be everything to everybody, you're going to burn out. And as a pastor, I've learned that over and over again, I'll burn out. I got to learn to know what I can do and what I cannot do. And when I tell them what I cannot do, silent. Let them figure it out. Now, this is the fourth and final thing I want to present to you this morning, loved ones. In order to actualize this practical wisdom of being silent as a way of bridling your tongue, you always have to remind yourself of the consequences. Consequences of word. Consequences of your words. Watch this, loved ones. You know, before speaking, briefly calculate the potential fallout of what unnecessary talk might bring. You know, there are consequences to our speech, you know that. Let me give you some few things here I want you to think about before you open your mouth and speak. I want you to know this, first of all. Words are often misunderstood. I want you to pay attention to that. Words are taken out of context. They're often misunderstood. You know, by staying silent, you eliminate the risk of someone twisting your meaning or taking offense where it's not intended. Eliminate that. That is why before you speak, take inventory, ponder. Because words oftentimes are misunderstood. And as a pastor, I've been in that situation where people have misunderstood my word. And they've told me this is what they thought I said, and that wasn't my intent. But because I've said those words, it's misunderstood. The second thing I want you to think about before speaking is this. Once information is spoken, you lose control over it. Reminding yourself that a secret cannot be untold. I want to understand that. Secrets cannot be untold. You got to encourage what I call protective silence. Shh. Be careful about that. Once you speak words, it's there. You can't take it back. Number three, you got to understand this as well. Every promise or opinion you voice becomes something you may have to defend or fulfill later. When you keep quiet, you free yourself from unnecessary obligation. You know, many people don't understand this about paper trail. I've seen people type emails out of anger, and you send out that email, and someone will now save that email. Now, the way you felt when you send that email might not be the way you feel 10 years from then, but someone have saved that email. 10 years later, you run for Congress. And someone now brings out that email that you wrote 10 years ago and said, look at him. And now you've changed. But because you've left a trail, because you, out of your anger, were not able to hold your anger or to restrain yourself, but you let the word out. And once you let it out, you made an opinion known. Everybody now accuses you, looks at you because of what you said, though you've changed, but you've laid down a paper trail. And loved ones, this is another thing I want to tell you. I want you to be able to watch how the words of others cause drama and stress in their life before you open your mouth and speak. Look around you. See examples of how many people, their lives have been altered and changed because they opened their mouth and just spilled it out. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning. This practical advice to be silent is achievable. And you as a Christian got to understand. But by your words, you will justify, by your words, you'll be condemned. Let your words be few. Let your words be few. People might be uncomfortable with silence. That's their problem. You just make sure as a believer that you keep it golden, because someone said it well, silence is golden. And I pray this morning, loved ones, that we will be prudent by being silent and let God do our defending. Loved ones, let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do give thanks for thy mercy, for thy grace. Father, we now pray that I will consecrate thy word that has been declared. Bless, O Lord God, the declaration as well as the reception. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks.